Blog Talk Radio.
Well, everyone, it looks like our intro again is not working for our show. I don't know what's going on with that, so we're going to have technical support look at that. But this is your host, Virginia Grenier, here on the World of Ink Network. We are a featured network here on Blog Talk Radio. Just really quickly before I get into today's show, I just want to share a couple of things. First off, the first thing that I want to share is, I guess there is a group out there called Black Lives Matter, which is, you know, I have no problem with movements out there. However, there are a few people who are part of that group who are using Blog Talk Radio and YouTube to basically get out the message that there should be a day, which is actually this coming Friday, 9/11, that whites and cops should watch out because blacks should rise up and start killing whites and black people. I'm sorry, whites and cops, not black people, whites and cops on 9/11. And unfortunately, Blog Talk Radio and YouTube are being tied in as sites that are promoting this. I just wanted to let our listeners know that, no, it is not Blog Talk Radio or YouTube out there that is promoting this. Unfortunately, it's people using those sites to promote them. And as quickly as both Blog Talk Radio and YouTube hear about it, they are trying to shut those accounts down as quickly as possible. So just want to let our listeners know that here at World of Ink Network, we are not supporting killing cops or white people or any other race. That is a terrible thing. So please just take it a little bit with a grain of salt that sometimes information isn't 100% correct when people get a little crazy out there. The other thing here going on at World of Ink Network is we have the St. George Book Festival coming up in October, the fourth week of October. And so we will start having authors that will be attending the book festival in St. George and throughout Utah at other book festivals put on by the Utah Humanities, coming and talking about the October, how it is the National Book Month, talking about the different festivals they'll be out. And we'll probably even get a few on that are going to be at Comic-Con this September as well up in the Salt Lake area at the Salt Palace. So, and hopefully we'll get a live show up there as well. We are still working on that. But those are some of the things that we are planning here at the World of Ink Network. And my partner, Marcia Casper-Cook, is also planning a few shows as well. She is getting those together with some wonderful guests. She'll be talking about writing. She's going to be talking about music. She's going to be talking about script writing, what's happening in Hollywood. And we are going to be getting together probably in a week or two, the show we've talked about, which is the No Holds Bar show on the publishing industry and what works, what doesn't work, and why it does and doesn't work out there for those who are interested that are trying to get their PR going as an author or who are a small publisher or an indie publisher or an self-published author. I know it's really difficult. There's so many things going on, so many platforms and so much hype, and some things work for some people, some things don't work for others, and then sometimes it just doesn't work at all, and it's just, you know, a way for people to get money out of your pocket. So anyways, we will have that show coming up within next week or the week after. We're getting that scheduled, and that is pretty much everything we have going on here. To, of course, follow us and keep in tune with what we are doing, you can always go to worldofinknetwork.com or follow us at Facebook at World of Ink Network or on Twitter at World of Ink. And we will have posts going up constantly and information out there on social media of the different shows we have coming up and projects that we are working on. Anyway, so to get to today's show, I'm excited about this show, probably because here in my hometown, or I should say home state, not technically my hometown, but my home state, I was contacted by a publicist through Shadowmount, which is one of our local publishers, and there is a book out that has to deal with pediatric cancer patients. And we have photographer Jonathan Diaz with us, who decided to go out and work with these kids and help them realize their dreams and did some amazing photography, got together with some of, I'm sorry, I'm being biased, but some of the best authors here in Utah to write some short stories around these kids, you know, fantasies and dreams that they see themselves as doing or wanting to be, and put together this great book called True Heroes, A Treasury of Modern Day Fairy Tales. And so welcome to the show, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to have you here. I've, like I was telling you before the show, I love this book. It is so beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. And I have to concur that the authors in this book are some of the best authors ever. So.
Well, you know, I have to say that only because it seems like every time one of them gets a good series going, it ends up on the New York Times bestseller list. And that's been pretty consistent for the last 5 years. So, you know, I don't know what it is all of a sudden here in Utah, but definitely the writing bug has struck.
I don't know that I have a lot of experience in that, but one of the authors, we went to lunch with him, Jeff Savage, and mm-hmm. he mentioned that aspect too. And he said that someone from New York, I think, told him what's going on in Utah. Why are there so many great authors? What are you guys drinking there? And he just said the author community is very, very supportive of one another, and they all try to help each other find success. And so I just think that there's just such a great community here.
Yes, yes. And I keep telling my husband I need to move up toward northern Utah, which is where you guys are all from. Because, and I'm not saying that we don't have them here in St. George, because we do, because David Farland, known as David Wolverton out there in the writing world, for those who are looking for the author, he actually writes under David Wolverton. His name's David Farland, is his real name. And he actually, Stephanie Meyer, Brandon Mull, James Dashner, I don't know if Jeff Savage took his course or not. I know at least those, I know James, Brandon, and Stephanie did for sure. Anyways, all of them learned from David, and David is a national best-selling author. And I kid you not, I think within like a few years of taking his course, all of them were New York Times bestsellers. So I keep telling David, I'm like, you know, I really need to find time to take your class, because you're like the only one down here in my area, because otherwise I'm going to move to Salt Lake to get them all to rub off on me.
Right,
so you're in a great location for that. And you're right, it is a very supportive community. I'm sure you know that. I'm curious, because I know you're a self-taught photographer, pretty much. So what made you decide to learn photography, and then to take that and to go seek out these children and their families to do this book? Because, I mean, that's a huge project to take on, a big one, and not an easy one to do either. So what kind of got you inspired to do this?
Yeah, so I think the first part of that was just photography in general. I'm an attorney by trade, and shortly after law school, I just discovered photography, and it was kind of like a light switch turned on in my mind, and I was so passionate about it. I couldn't get enough of it, and so I was doing every type of picture that I could think of. I had so many images in my mind, and I just wanted to create as much as I could, and so I just worked at it and worked at it, and I think I recognized early on that I really felt like I learned or found a passion for this later in life, because I was, you know, I was meant maybe to use it as a way to help other people. And so I believe strongly that if we have talents, that we ought to use them for helping others. And so that's kind of where that began. And then in late 2013, I was just kind of to a point where I really wanted to start telling more stories with my photography, and I was very interested in children and their imaginations and their dreams, and you know, kids have such vivid imaginations, such powerful dreams, and they're so optimistic, and so I had already done a few images of my own kids kind of living their dreams, I guess, and so I loved doing that, and I thought, well, why don't I do this for kids that really need this help and that could really benefit from this, and I just thought of kids with cancer, and I think part of that is I think we're all affected by cancer. I think we all know somebody that's been fought cancer, maybe passed away from cancer. And so I just felt like it was a very broad area to focus on, and then taking kids and their dreams is a very powerful way to do that.
Yeah, no, and I couldn't agree more with you. I've had family. I mean, it's been older people in my family who've developed cancer, but you know, it's it does take so much out of the person, the family, and to be able to reach out to these kids who endure so much. I was watching, I'm trying to remember which one it was. It was one of the YouTube videos, and I can't remember which kid's family it was I was talking about, but how I just remember the mom making a comment about, I think it was Ethan's parents, but I could be wrong. We're talking about how, you know, doing this shoot with you and spending time and, you know, having a story written by one of the authors about they envisioned as, you know, their ultimate type of dream that, you know, they wish they could go out and live. Help take away the help them to kind of step away from the reality of life of going through the different treatments for the cancer and, you know, hospital visits and the testing and, you know, all of that. And I just listening to the mom talk about that was just so impacting because it was like, wow, you know, these kids do. I mean, I was telling you, you know, I'm 40 years old. I hate needles today as a 4-year-old. I can't even imagine. Yeah, I couldn't imagine when I was a kid and I really hated getting those booster shots as a kid, you know, having to do more than that as a child. They probably would have had to strap me down as a kid because it amazes me, these children and the courage they go through to constantly be poked and prodded, you know. So to do this for them to where they feel like they're more than just, you know, a patient in a doctor's office or a hospital is just such an amazing thing that you're doing. Now, I know you're welcome. So you've done like 20 kids about so far, right? Where you've reached out and kind of done a shoot with them.
Yeah, so we've done, there are 21 total, and they're all in the book. And we have a whole list of other kids that we're now working on to do their photo shoots and images.
Wow, all right, so are you going to do, is it going to be a second book that you guys are going to put out, or are you going to do something a little different this time around?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to put out another book. I you know, a lot of people have asked me about whether we're going to do like more digital stuff or whether we're going to do, you know, hard copy stuff. And I really believe in printing images. And, you know, there's nothing like holding those images in your hand and seeing them printed. And so I would love to do another book. I guess it probably depends on how well True Heroes does, but absolutely. And I definitely am going to continue with the project and helping these kids. So
now, how did it work with getting with Shadow Mountain? Did you reach out to them? Did they hear about what you were doing? How did that partnership kind of happen? Because I know, you know, every publisher is very different. I know Shadow Mountain's pretty good about keeping in tune with what's happening with the humanity projects here in Utah. So did someone direct you to them, or did they just kind of call you up one day and go, hey, we want to work with you on this?
Maybe a little bit of both. So what happened was we already had some of the authors on board that were willing to write stories, and we were meeting with them. And we wanted to get to know them a little bit so that we could pair them with the right kid. And then we were also kind of picking their brains a little bit to find out more about publishing, because at the time we were going to just maybe self-publish the book. And we met with Jeff Savage, and he said, well, you know, contact Chris Schobinger at Shadow Mountain and just maybe ask for some advice. And so he gave me his email. I sent an email to Chris, and I got a response back pretty quickly. And he's like, yeah, we want you to come in and let's talk. And I've looped in our team, and we just want to chat with you. And so I walk into the meeting, and I was kind of expecting to just, you know, ask some advice and questions. And he sits me down, and he's like, hey, so I looked at your website. I was just blown away by the images. I felt like this was the real deal. You already have authors. We are very interested in publishing this book. And I was really shocked, actually, because I had no clue that was going to happen. And it was just really interesting. And, you know, I kind of pitched the idea still to them, and they loved it. They thought it was a great idea. And then I told them, and I want to publish this book in September. And this was in January when I was talking with them.
They kind of
looked at me like I was a little crazy. And I said, I know that that's very aggressive. And I said, you're right, it is. But We just had an art book fall through that we were going to publish in September. So if we can meet some deadlines, we may be able to get this book published in September this year. So, I mean, we worked really fast, and they were awesome, and we couldn't be happier. So.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that's even really fast for Shadow Mountain, because typically publishers, yeah, when they take a book on it, the fastest I've ever seen a book, I think, turn around from Shadow Mountain. I won't say what author told me this because I know a few of their authors. But I think one of them, they turned their book like in a year, which even that's like a little under a year, and that's really fast.
Yeah,
you know, you don't typically see that with a publisher. So, wow, that's like, I mean, that's like under 6 months they got this out. And I know September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, so I'm glad that they were able to get this out for you in the month you wanted as well, because it all fell perfectly into place.
Yeah, I mean, that was really our goal. You know, we wanted it to come out for Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month, so absolutely.
No, that's great. Now, what was it like working with these authors and meeting them? Because I've met a few of the authors that you have, that you've worked with. One that I know probably the best out of all of them, because I've actually interviewed him a few times, was Brandon Mall. He's a really, really sweet guy. I love him to death. So what was it like working with these guys? Because, you know, I know a lot of them are very busy, and it's hard to nail them down. To get them to, you know, even for an interview, I know it's really hard to get them for stuff, because I've been working on that because of the book festival. So what was that process like, trying to work around, you know, their deadlines that they had for commitments already? And, you know, I'm sure they probably, you know, wanted to meet with the kids too. And so what was that kind of like, trying to get all this done in such a short time span?
Man, I have a feeling that my experience is very different from maybe others. I have to say that it was kind of, I don't want to say easy, that's probably not the right word. It was a lot of work, and it was very difficult, but part of having Shadow Mountain on board was they were able to kind of set deadlines and get that stuff taken care of. I'm just so amazed by these authors, and that they were able to turn the stories around pretty fast. And the stories, I think, just by themselves are so fantastic and match the kids perfectly. And I'm really just kind of blown away that it happened quickly, that they were able. I mean, yes, they are very, very busy. A lot of them are very busy. And for them to take the time to do this was just great. And I have to say, I'm trying to think back, and it didn't seem like it was that difficult. It was like they were just on board to do it. They were willing to do it. And so they made it happen, I think. And I think that maybe it speaks to what the cause is, and that, you know, people want to help kids that are fighting this disease.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of these authors write within the children's market, you know, be it picture books all the way to young adult books. I mean, it was right up there. It was definitely right up their alley. And wanting to be a part of this. I really, really enjoyed it. I've actually taken your book around. I've showed a few of the photographers out here in St. George, the book. And they are just so impressed. Not just with the stories, because, you know, obviously everybody loves a good story, but just the detail that you went into for each session with these kids, and the pictures that you took. And I actually went on the website too, as well, and looked at some of the other, you know, pictures that aren't in the book, because I know each one, you know, there's only the one shot of each kid, but there's multiple images that you've done over at Anything Canby Project that you can see. I my favorite, I have to say, is Cambry's the mermaid. That's because I'm just partial to I like mermaids, so, you know, I'm a little partial to that one. But so did you use Photoshop to do a lot of the image? Because I know when I was watching the YouTube clip of some of the, and I know it's like, you know, the video has clips in there from, you know, various photo shoots. And I think one of them was, I think it was the one with the dragon. Is the big one in there. And so what did you do to get the imagery back in there? Because I know when I was watching that, obviously I knew what the backdrop was, where you had him standing up along the mountain. I'm like, oh, I know where that's at. And you, but obviously when you go to the actual image in the book or on the website, you know, there's the dragons in the background and all of that. So what program did you use to create that illusion?
Yeah, it was Photoshop. Lots and lots of Photoshop. I probably spend maybe 20 hours on each image on average.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people say, oh, so you take a picture and you drop them into a background. Well, yeah, technically, but it really is much, much more than that. There's a lot of detail and effort that goes into these images. And, you know, we really try hard to get a lot of the stuff right in camera. And then, but yeah, obviously there's no dragons that exist in real life. And so you have to, you know, you have to use other programs to make those images. But, you know, each image is created with the purpose of telling a story, and there's some symbolism in some of the images, and there's little things in some of them that speak to the kids themselves and their stories and their journeys, and so they're very, very personal and very tailored towards these kids.
So I'm going to ask you a hard question. You can just tell me you don't want to answer it or not.
Okay. Talking
about the pictures and stuff, and trust me, I know, because doing these shows and knowing what the creative world is like, you know,
it's
very where you want to, you know, have everything exactly the way you want it. So I'm curious, since you're working with kids, and of course now you have parents involved, was there ever a time where you worked with a child or where a parent was not happy with what they were seeing and you had to go back and redo something? Because I know that happens normally just in the regular world of writing anyways and photography and art.
Yeah. No, I can say definitely no. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people say there is a selfish aspect to this project, and that is creatively, I have a lot of license with the creative aspect. And so the final vision of the images is what I sort of see and what I create. And obviously I talk with the kids and get some ideas of what they would like to see. Like William, the dragon rider, he wanted a red dragon. You know, he initially wanted a two-headed dragon. And I think for visually for the picture, it just, the way we shot it and everything, it just wasn't going to work for a two-headed dragon. But, you know, he was totally fine with a one-headed dragon. He loves the image, you know. I have discovered that taking these kids' dreams and making them come true, I guess, through photography is extremely rewarding and fulfilling as far as the creative side of things. And so I do get a lot from that, and I've never felt more satisfied creatively with my photography. And so, but that's part of the project. We find out what the dream is and we create a photo shoot around it. I envision the images and I create the images, and then we surprise the kids with what the images look like. And that's been very, and we have not had a complaint yet. So.
Well, that's good. And I'm sure the kids are probably just overjoyed when they see what you've done when they saw the final project, because kids are pretty imaginative anyways, but when they actually see it in, you know, the flesh, it can be pretty, you know, overwhelming and powerful to see somebody can grab what they're trying to say to you, you know, and make it happen. Now, I know the Anything Can Be project is basically like a nonprofit, and the royalties from the book are going to go to that. So what are you guys doing with the Anything Can Be project? Are you guys just going to keep working on what you've done so far with True Heroes and keep working on helping those kids' dreams to come true? Or are there some other things that you guys are looking to kind of do out there with this company, you know, with this group?
And that's a question we get asked a lot. And I think our mission is to raise well, I say create hope, and I say lasting hope, and that's why we use photography, because people take pictures because they want to create lasting memories. And so we create lasting hope and raise awareness for pediatric cancer. And so if there's ever a way to use art and creativity and imagination to do those things, then we'll look at that. But as far as right now goes, yeah, we have a list of kids. We're going to try to do photo shoots for each of those kids. We're going to raise as much awareness for pediatric cancer as we possibly can. We're going to give as much hope as we can to as many kids as we possibly can. True Heroes helps us do that, because if we can get this book into the hands of these kids across the country that are fighting cancer, then that we're accomplishing that mission. And then, you know, I'm only one person, though, and so I recognize that. And so there are some limitations to what the project can do. And so that's a challenge. That's a problem that we eventually will need to try to solve. And I think we'll focus on Utah, although we do have a lot of kids out of the state, too, that we want to do pictures for. But I think if we can get to a point where we're doing these for all the kids in Utah, then maybe we can, you know, scale it up and do it in other states. And I would love to do pediatric cancer is my focus, but there's a lot of kids that are suffering with other illnesses and diseases that could definitely benefit from this. And so, maybe that's one way that we grow and we expand into other sort of illnesses and disabilities and things. But it will be kids and it will be dreams and it will be using art to make those things happen. So, it's an adventure. It's definitely a lot of fun problems to solve, I think.
Oh no, I totally agree. And kids are such an amazing. I mean, they're our future, and there's just they are amazing people, because I think sometimes as adults we forget, you know, that they experience a lot of the same things we do, just in a different, you know, perspective, I guess would be the best way to say it. And
right, yeah.
So I love the fact that, you know, there's groups like yourself that are helping to bring that awareness that there's kids out there, and, you know, some of them don't have it always as easy as others, you know, be it, you know, life circumstances to a disease, and, you know, that it's important to raise their self-esteem and encouragement to help them to keep going. Are there any of the kids in the book that have, because I only got to, unfortunately, I've been so busy, I haven't been able to like sit and read every single one of them. I did look at all the pictures. I just didn't get to read about every single child that's in here. Are there any of them that actually have, I hate to say it, but, you know, basically like where it's terminal, where they only have X amount of time that, you know, may not get to, you know, I know some of them, you know, like wanted to be, you know, a firefighter, and, you know,
right.
I love the one with the Batman and a doctor. I thought that was very, very cute. Are there any that may not ever actually get to see those dreams become reality as an adult that you worked with?
Yeah. So, two of the kids actually passed away. The photo shoots that we did for them were weeks before they passed away. So, with them, we got the call from parents and just saying, you know, our kids are in hospice now. We've been told that make them comfortable, do the best you can, and you know, they have a month or a week or whatever it is. And so, so Jordan, who is the Alice in Wonderland, she did pass away. And then Ethan, who you just mentioned, the Bat Kid doctor, he also passed away. And, you know, some people have maybe commented, hey, you're giving these kids false hope and you're maybe not doing something that you should be doing. But at the same time, I wholly disagree with that, because I think there's always hope. Whether that hope is in knowing that your legacy is going to live on, or hope that you will overcome the cancer, or your hope that in humanity itself. I mean, there's so many ways to look at that. And Jordan, for example, who did pass, she was so sick when we went to her house. It was very difficult for her to even put on her Alice dress. And it took a half hour for her to get dressed. And when we did the photo shoot, it took three people to hold her up. She barely could stand up on her own. And and there were times, and during that photo shoot, I was saying to her, you know, just sit on the couch. It's okay. You can lay on the couch. Be comfortable. We'll take the pictures while you're on the couch. And she was adamant about standing and facing that camera and smiling and taking those pictures. And that speaks volumes to me about who these kids are and how strong and determined they are. And I can't help but feel that she understood that what she was doing was going to touch other people's lives and impact other people's lives for good. And so I just think that while it is sad and we miss them and it's hard, and I just think that there are good things that we can derive from these trials. And I'm not the perfect person to talk about this. You know, I haven't faced that type of trial before. And I think that, and it's hard maybe for us that haven't faced that to really understand what these families go through. And I don't mean to like shamelessly plug something, but there's a great article on our blog about this very subject. And it was written by Ethan Van Leeuwen's mother, who lost her son, and she talks about keeping hope alive regardless of what you face. And I think it's a very interesting perspective, you know, from someone who's dealt with a very serious trial. So,
yeah, well, and, you know, and I think you're totally right where, you know, what, you know, you're doing and what these, you know, and these kids being a part of it and wanting and being so determined to be a part of it does speak volumes about who they are and their character. I mean, the two that have, you know, passed away, I know you made the comment, some people, you know, have made comments where, you know, this probably isn't, you know, good for you to be giving these kids false hope. But what went through my mind was this little girl was so determined that she wanted to stand during this photo shoot that, I mean, to her, this is like a special memory that was one of the last memories she had that you got to give her, which is amazing.
Yes.
You know, plus now her parents have something, her family has something, you know, the people who've known her, her friends have these, you know, this memory, these images, the short story that's now been written, you know, based off what her dream was to keep and to share and to share through Prosperity. So even if, you know, the general public doesn't, you know, because as you know, I mean, there's so many books out there. So even if like everybody in the world doesn't get to hear about these kids, the fact right. that their family gets to share this with the Prosperity is amazing because, you know, their the great grandkids and the great, great, you know, cousins and all those people will get to hear about this family member and all these other kids as well. And I think that is amazing.
It speaks to legacy, you know, what is your legacy going to be? And there was a great ESPN writer that talked about overcoming cancer. And I don't quote me on this exactly, but he basically said that he's overcome cancer, and you can overcome cancer no matter the actual outcome. You can overcome it by the way you live. And so it's all about how you take your trial and perceive it and then act upon it. And then, you know, legacy, what is your legacy going to be no matter what?
Yeah, that's very true, Jonathan. We had an author a couple of weeks ago, her name's Casey Kalem. Well, Casey Crawford Kalem's her whole name actually is what she writes under. And she actually lost her husband to cancer a little while ago. Mm-hmm. And she wrote about that journey. And and it goes right to what you're talking about, you know, the whole legacy and the person from ESPN and them talking about this and stuff is her whole story. And when she talks about the journey she went through with her husband was, you know, was believing and to basically, you know, dance through life and enjoy it all the way to the end. And I mean, I kid you not, her husband, the day he was in hospice and he passed away, they had like hundreds of people stopping by the house, and she said it was like a party on his deathbed, literally. And I mean, and to me, I mean, most people would be like, you know, and I know there's people out there like, that's just, you know, that's horrible. But you know what? Honestly, if I'm going to go, that's how I want to go in my own life too. You know, so to me, like what you're doing with these kids, to me is, you know, that's exactly what you're giving. You're giving them the party on their, you know, I don't want to say they're all on their deathbed, but you know, on their deathbed, basically, to where if tomorrow's the end, they have, it's not a bad memory, it's a happy memory. And I don't know about you, but I want to go out with a happy memory.
No, I'm the same way. And then the other side of this is that a lot of the kids that we have survived, are in remission, are doing well. There's some that are still struggling, but there's others that are absolute miracles. And you know, I'm not here to answer the question as to why them and over somebody else, but you know, I think holding on to hope, no matter what the hope is, I think will get you through some of these things. And that's my hope with the book, right? Is that people will read it, and no matter what the trials they're dealing with, they will be able to look at these kids and see how strong and courageous they are, and that you know, you can deal with hard things. So
yeah. And I agree. I know when I've watched my own family members who have struggled with death, the second they lose hope, it seems like it's when they start losing the battle. So I think by giving people hope and doing this helps them fight, even if it's, you know, giving a good fight all the way to the end. And honestly, I think this helps. I know when I was going through the book, and my 10-year-old daughter was having a heyday going through the book. She's actually read the whole thing.
Yeah.
And she wanted to be on today's show, and I was like, no, you have to go to school. I'm sorry. But but that's because some of these authors have actually come and visited her school, so she's seen them do author visits, which was also why she was gravitated to the book. But it helped her because my daughter, I love my daughter Ashley very, very much, but she's a very sensitive girl. And she takes things very personally.
And so
she was reading through the book. She turned to me. She's like, you know, Mom, I have no reason to get upset like I do about things. She goes, because I'm not going through what half these kids are going through in my life.
Right. Yeah.
And to me, I mean, and that speaks volumes too, because these kids are touching other people's lives, be it kids or adults, and helping us look at our own selves and reflect and go, wow, you know, if this person can do it, what do I have to complain about? Why, you know, why am I getting down on myself, or why am I giving up so easy? You know, so it gives hope just to all of us in general. And you know, I really want a photo shoot like this, Jonathan. So if you ever just do people who don't have, you know, cancer or, you know, any type of terminal disease, I want to be on that list, okay? I think all of us could use something like this in our lives. Because, you know, we all go through hardships, and I think by leaning on each other, like you know, we were talking about earlier, how the reason why the author community and the arts community here in Utah is so strong is because we do help, you know, boost each other up and give each other that encouragement and cheering each other on. And to me, that's what I think the book True Heroes is doing for everybody, you know, for these kids, for, you know, anybody who picks up the book. It's a way for us to all kind of build each other up in a positive way.
Yeah.
So
that,
I'm just
curious. That really,
I'm just curious. Was there any photo shoot that was one of your favorite that you really loved doing when you were working on this project? Was there one just stands out the most to you, or you're like, no, they all do?
you probably hear or people say that, and it's like this cliche thing, but I really do. There's not one photo shoot that's like, that was the best photo shoot. They all have, I can tell you stories about each one of them. They all have a special place in my heart. Jordan's, I guess, you know, since we already talked about her, that was the first time that I realized that this project was the real deal. That was the first time that I, you know, you have doubts about things, and you have doubts about what you're doing and whether it's helping anybody at all. And with Jordan's, that was the first time I felt like my talent as a photographer was actually helping somebody. But there was others too. I mean, with Bray Lynn, for example, who was our first photo shoot. She's a superhero. And, you know, that was the first time that we even did a photo shoot, and that was just so much fun. And she was so excited to see me, and which was kind of shocking to me because I barely knew her. I'd met her before the photo shoot just because I try to meet the kids beforehand so they're comfortable with me. But I remember walking into her house for the photo shoot, and she was sitting on this chair, and she goes, "John, what are you doing here?" And I just was so taken back by the fact that she even remembered my name, let alone was excited to see me. So, you know, there's just so many different aspects of this. We had Bree, who was a dancer, and she was a competitive dancer, an awesome dancer before she had cancer, and her cancer took away her ability to dance and run and even walk for a little while. And, you know, just taking her pictures and creating an image that shows her dancing again was just a special moment. And so there's just so many moments like that.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure there are. And I'm sure that made her day. You know, I couldn't even imagine losing the ability to do something that you enjoy doing, you know, and then now you're able to give it back, you know, to the child and say, you know, here, let's do this for you and help you relive something that you enjoy. That's so impacting. Is there any like book signings or venues that you're going to be out in soon where you're going to be kind of talking about True Heroes in Utah or in other states that people can hopefully maybe show up to and talk to you and learn more?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have a book signing and panel in Provo, at the Provo City Library, this Saturday at 3:00. And anyone's invited, they can come out. You can purchase a book there if you want. And then a lot of the authors will be there. A lot of the kids that are in the book will be there. And you can come out and get them signed, and we'll talk a little bit about it and get some of the author's perspective. And then also during Comic-Con, we'll have a panel there as well if anyone is going to be out at Comic-Con as well. So right now, those are the two things, and then hopefully we'll have some more things coming up.
Oh, I don't know if I'll be able to get to the Provo City Library this weekend just because I'm a little tied up here in my own hometown. But I am planning on going to Comic-Con. Are you guys going to be there the whole time? Is there a specific day you guys are going to be at Comic-Con doing that?
So the Anything Can Be project, we'll have a booth there. The book True Heroes will be sold there through Shadow Mountain. They're the official bookstore of Comic-Con, Salt Lake Comic-Con. And then we'll have the panel. And then there's a party on Saturday night that's sponsored. You know, it's the Anything Can Be cosplay party. So, we'll be there all 3 days. Please come out and say hi. I'd love to meet you in person and meet anyone else that wants to come talk to us.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to. I'm writing that down as you're telling me. Like, yes, I'm putting that on my calendar. Well, because I do. I know a lot of authors are going to be out there, and I have to let some of the authors that you have. I don't know if you know Mikey Brooks or not, but there's a few others like him that are going to be there that aren't published with Shadow Mountain, but I'll have to tell them that you're going to be there so you guys can all kind of network too, because
I love
seeing
that
happen.
Yeah.
But that's
that
great. I'm glad you get there. Since the kids are going to be, which I thought was amazing, we said, the kids are going to be there too, like at the Provo Library when we're here this weekend. So do the kids feel like superstars now? Do they feel like, you know, they're celebrities when they're out there at these things? Or is this like one of the first ones they're going to be at?
This will be probably the first experience that they'll have. And I know that some of the kids maybe aren't able to write as well. Like they're young, or maybe they, you know, a lot of these kids miss a lot of school when they're going through these treatments. But so, for example, Carson, our bull rider, his mom made him a stamp, so he can go out and just stamp his signature on everyone's book. But I know that they're pretty excited about being there. And so we really want a good turnout. We want, you know, people will come and get these kids' signatures, and I think that they'll love it. A lot of the kids want to dress up in their costumes from the project, and, you know, it's pretty fun. They really get into it, so.
That's cool. Sorry, I had an email from Derek, your guys' publicist, and I guess Brandon Mole, one of the authors, had a family emergency, but he wants to come onto the show, so they were just emailing me saying, is there a way for him to still get into the show? I'm like, yeah, so I was like telling him as you were talking. So hopefully Brandon will get on before we end the show. That'd be great to have one of the authors come on. I know both Brandon and Tyler Whiteside had shown interest when you guys personally didn't contact me, but when Derek, the publicist, contacted me and had sent me the information about the book, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I'd love to have Jonathan come on and any of the authors. And so when one of them called, I was like, okay, I know they all get busy, so maybe they can't make it. And I mean, not that I don't want you on, because obviously, you know, you're the man of the show, because this wouldn't have happened without you. But no, so hopefully Brandon will call in and we can hear from one of the authors. That'd be great. I know, which is funny. Yeah, it's funny because we're just talking about kids and do they feel like superstars, and now that I just saw an email from Brandon, I remember Brandon Mall, gosh, I think it was right before he became a New York Times bestselling author. It was because it was like the second interview I did with him. I remember him telling me that when his books come out, he always feels like a rock star because he's out at all the schools doing, you know, the presentations and at the bookstores doing the signings. And he's like, then the book, you know, then that's all done. And then I go to like back to writing, and all of a sudden it's like I feel like I'm a nobody again because I'm just an author behind my computer typing away. So it was funny when I asked that question, that whole thought came into my mind, and you know. So I'm sure the kids are, and I'm hoping they have a blast at Provo. And are they? They're going to be at Comic Con too, right? Some of them will be there as well, the kids, or no?
Yeah, maybe. We're still trying to figure that out. I know for the panel with the Comic Con thing, it'll just be hopefully all the authors or a lot of the authors. But yeah, the kids might be participating in some way at Comic Con. So. We've been really lucky to be able to partner with Comic Con a couple times now already, so they've helped us a lot.
It is amazing how big the Salt Lake City Comic Con has gotten. I went to college out in San Diego, which is the original Comic Con, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And I have to say, Salt Lake isn't too far from being as big as the San Diego one in many ways.
Yeah, I think they're expecting the attendance this year to be pretty close.
Yeah, and that'll be so great for you because it happens in September. Again, you know, it's Cancer Awareness Month. You got this month that you're going to be there with. I mean, it's just the timing on all this for this project is just amazing how it just fell into place. But, you know, I really think that when something's a good thing, that's what happens. It really falls into place for you.
We've had a lot of experiences where things like that happen, where things just fall into place, and it's been pretty amazing.
So what website can people find out more about you? I know obviously you have your the anythingcanbeproject.com. Is there like a Facebook page they can follow you, Twitter page, blog? Are there any other sites as well?
Yeah, we're on all the social media. So Facebook is facebook.com/anythingcanbeproject. And then on Twitter, we're on anythingcanbe1. And on Instagram, we're at anythingcanbeproject. And then the website specifically, it has a link to the Amazon page where you can go and order the book if you want to do that. And see some of the pictures. There's all the videos on there. There's a lot of stuff on there to look at as well.
Yeah, and I really encourage people to go look at all the pictures because, you know, again, the pictures, I mean, I love the ones you picked for the book because they are amazing, but I know you have so many more. Did the family get a collection of the pictures or
the whole idea was I really wanted, I envisioned these kids, you know, getting the huge versions of the pictures and they hang them on their walls and they, you know, they look at them every morning and say, wow, I'm amazing and I'm incredible and I can do a lot of things. And so That was really a big part of this project. And so each of the kids do get an enlargement, a large enlarged version of the picture, framed and beautiful print. And then, yeah, I think eventually we'll give other versions of the pictures to the kids in some form. All the kids got a copy of the book as well. And you know, the idea is, I think when you, you know, I create these images to be enlarged and be big. And so we definitely try to put a lot of detail in the images and so that they can really feel like they're very special images.
Sorry about that. That was what, so our listeners know too. That is our mascot, Taz, my miniature schnauzer, who sits in my studio with me. And of course, obviously, we must have gotten Mel at the front door because that's usually when he barks.
No, the mailman.
I know, the little yappy dogs. I have one, I'm sorry. And I usually try and keep him out of the studio, but he always follows me in anyway. So sorry about that.
Well, I think
I think that's great that they get. So is the image that they get, is it the one in the book, or do they actually get to pick the one they have enlarged up on their wall?
Yeah, so if I had a couple images done for the kids, then yeah, they usually pick. Sometimes it's funny how that works. Sometimes I do a photo shoot and I can come up with three or four images, and then others, for some reason, there's one image that I want to create, and once I've created that image, I feel like my work is done, you know, with that kid. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird how that works, but a lot of times I go in to the photo shoots with a mindset of, you know, this is the image I want to create, and a lot of time, sometimes it comes out that way, but a lot of times it just totally, it ends up being very, very different. And I don't know. I think it's based on the kids and kind of their stories and things, just how the photo shoot itself goes. And
right.
So, you know, the creative process is a very interesting process. I'm sure writers go through that a lot, you know.
And it's funny you should mention that, because I think we have Brandon Moll with us. So I'm going to open up Brandon's mic. So, Brandon, is that you that's calling in on us?
Yes, I think so.
This is Virginia. I'm glad you finally were able to join us, and Jonathan's here. And I'm sure you just heard him talking about the creative process. And by the way, I've plugged you quite a bit today, Brandon, because I know, and I don't know how much you remember, but I've actually interviewed you a couple of times for my old magazine, Stories for Children. And I was asking Jonathan about the kids and how they're going to be at the Provo State Library. And I'm like, oh, you know, is this their first time, or have they been to another one, and do they feel like superstars? And I remembered once in an interview with you, you had mentioned to me that when a book comes out, you always feel like a rock star when you're out there doing all the signings and school visits. And then that's over, and then you go back to being an author behind the computer screen and nobody remembers who you are.
Yes, so. It's such a huge contrast, right? It's either intensely public or intensely private.
Yes. So Jonathan and I would love for you to share what your experience was like working on True Heroes and working with Jonathan and these kids, because this book is such an amazing book. My 10-year-old just loves it, and so do I. And of course, you know, she likes all of you guys as authors, so that helps as well. So what was it like working on this?
Oh, it was really fun. It was very unique. I love the idea of enhancing reality through fantasy, and using your dreams to be motivating and to make reality more fun. And so even just philosophically, I love the idea behind the project, and then linking it to these great kids with these fun dreams. My little guy wanted to be a doctor who was also Batman. And so that let me create a kind of a superhero kind of story. And that was fun too, because I'd never written a story like that. And also strangely heart-wrenching, because the little kid had already passed away. And so I didn't get to meet him. I just learned about him through reading about him. And so strangely bittersweet to make kind of a posthumous story dream thing come true, but so cool, and the picture was so neat, and the kid's dream was so neat that it gave me so much to work with that it really was a delight.
Yeah. Now, Jonathan was saying that you guys, a lot of you had a short time span to write these stories and get them turned around so he could make, you know, the September publication date for True Heroes. And knowing, because I've read all Fable Haven, I've actually read all your books. So reading all the stories that you've written. And so what was it like to sit there and type a short story? I know, you do have your picture book, but other than that, most of your books are middle grade to YA type storylines, so they're longer. What was it like to actually like confine yourself to a short word count and a very tight window to do it in?
The tight window was okay because the premise was set nice and clearly. You know what I mean? Like that we're going to write, you know, a kid Batman type adventure, and because. Because it was fairly short, you know what I mean? So I really just had to think, put together a few good scenes, and that would fill the space required. And so probably the hardest part was just selecting what scenes to show that would tell a story concisely. But that one just kind of fell into my lap. I liked the premise, and so I just tried to think of an adventure that a kid crime fighter would maybe solve, and so I did something with bullying with strange, almost cartoonish weapons, and that fit the Batman kind of feel, I thought, you know what I mean? And I had to be kind of careful. I didn't want to make it actually Batman, right? So it was Batman-esque, you know, because the goal is to infringe on anybody's stuff or whatever, and that'd be, but I think the feel comes across like that, you know, as if you were a Batman type crime fighter kid, and it was fun. I tried to use, you know, a comic booky type story. I tried to picture it comic booky as I wrote it, and almost even picturing like words like Kazam and you're like things like that, like how you would see it in a comic book. I would try to work that into the language a little bit. It was just fun.
No, it sounds like it. Now, did any of you and the other authors ever talk to each other during this project? Because I know Jonathan talked to many of you guys as the book was being put together, but did you like ever talk to like Tyler or Shannon or any of the other authors that were working on this book at all? Or have you talked to them since the book's come out?
Not a whole lot. I've sort of been in like a nightmare of deadlines. Because I'm doing my Five Kingdoms series, and I'm working on the fourth book in that, and that, so that's kind of been the big monkey on my back. So this project was just kind of sneaking it in as best I could. I mean, it was getting, I snuck it in between stuff as I was working on other things. So I only really collaborated with from the editor and Jonathan vicariously through his terrific picture.
Wow. I had asked Jonathan if he knew if that's what happened to a lot of you guys, because I know, obviously, because I live here in Utah as well, and I follow a lot of your guys' careers, that you guys are all very busy, all the authors that worked on this book. So I was like, how did they work in? Because I know a lot of them are hitting deadlines right now.
Yeah, no, so. I think a lot of it was just that it was a good cause, you know what I mean? A good cause and something that you could make kind of short. And I know people like Shannon, they don't say yes unless they really like something, you know what I mean? And so there's a lot of people who wrote for this because they thought it was a great idea and they wanted to be part of it. And I'm definitely one of them. I thought it was a great idea. Yes. I thought it was like an honor to be part of it.
Yeah, I did steal your social media picture that you have out there promoting this and how it's a great cause, and it's up on our show page today with some of Jonathan's other pictures.
Oh, great. Oh, cool.
Yeah, you're, and I hate to say this, but you're the only one that I found that had a picture like that there. I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, well, we're just going to have to snipe that off the internet. So, no, I think it's great that you guys got behind this. Good. And I told Jonathan, I said, you know, out of all the authors to pick, I mean, and of course, we're both biased because we live in Utah, you know, all the Utah authors, you guys are just all awesome, you know? So I can imagine a better group to work with.
Yeah, no, there's a good crowd of Utah authors, and though I didn't talk with them specifically about the project where I was working on it, all the Utah authors are mostly people that I know and like and have a ton of respect for. and do talk to from time to time. And so, yeah, I mean, it's also fun for me to have my name associated with them.
That's great. Now, because obviously we're getting to the top of the hour. So, Brandon, are you going to be out anywhere with your books and with True Heroes? Because I know Jonathan told me about the Provo Sea Library on this Saturday and, of course, Comic-Con. But is there any place that you're going to be at or any of the authors that are part of this project that you know are going to be out anywhere that people can go touch base with them as well?
For me, my big one is Salt Lake Comic Con. I'll definitely be there, I think, Friday and Saturday. And yeah, so if people want to track me down, otherwise, it's like Five Kingdoms Book 4, and then immediately after I'm doing, there's a sequel series to Fablehaven called Dragon Watch, and I have to start that immediately after Book 4. So
you didn't tell me that. You know, I'm going to have to put that in my budget now, right? To buy all these books that you're coming out. So Brandon will be chained at his desk, everybody,
stuff,
except at Comic-Con. That's the only time you'll find him unchained from the desk. And, of course, Jonathan, Jonathan, you'll be at Provo Sea Library this Saturday, you said, at 3 p.m., and then Comic-Con as well.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's – thank you, Brandon, for popping on. I know you only had – you were really busy, so I'm sorry you only had a few minutes to come on and talk, but it was great hearing from you, and Jonathan, it's been great talking to you guys. Is there anything else either one of you would like to share with our listeners today before we end our show?
I'm good. I would just say that it's a fun project. It's worth taking a look at. The art's great. The stories are fun.
Okay. And how about you, Jonathan?
What Brandon said, I think that's perfect.
All right. Well, I thank both of you guys for coming on the show today. It was great talking to you both. And
thank you.
I wish you guys both much success. I really hope anything can be project takes off. And I will definitely be in touch with you, Jonathan, with some of the stuff that we talked about before the show to help that project. And Brandon, I look forward to your upcoming books because you're an awesome author. You really, really are. I've been your biggest fan before you even became a New York Times bestselling author. So a long life fan here.
Good. Well, I think some of my best stuff's coming. Just judge me by it and see what you think. Five Kingdoms 4 and Dragon Watch. Those will be. I'm very proud of what I'm doing. So.
Well, I think you've been doing some great stuff. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you for being on the World of Ink Network. And I hopefully will get to see you guys at Comic-Con because I definitely will be there, and I'll stop by and say hi.
Cool. Okay. That'd be great.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
You take care. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
And then.
Bye.
And I just want to let our listeners know really quickly, again, here at the World of Ink Network, which is a featured network on Blog Talk Radio, that we will have some upcoming shows happening throughout September because the Book Festival in St. George is coming up. And then, of course, we have the Utah Humanities Book Festivals that are happening out throughout northern Utah. So we'll be having some of the speakers and authors that will be a part of those festivals here on interviews on the World of Ink Network throughout September and into the early part of October. We will also be doing a no holds bar on publishing, myself and Marcia Casper Cook. For those who are interested in the writing and publishing world, we'll be sharing what works and what does not work. That shall be either next week or the week after. We will definitely share that out on our Facebook page, World of Ink Network, and Twitter, which is World of Ink Network. It's just World of Ink on Twitter. And then, of course, you can always follow us on worldofinknetwork.com, and you can listen to any of our shows here on Blog Talk Radio on demand through Facebook, Twitter, at Blog Talk Radio, and iTunes. And we thank everybody for listening, and have a great week. Bye-bye.